Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
They're not teaching Sunday school class in terms of morality.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Xavier Rhodes on the bench, not out there on third down and 10. And Foles able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Jeffrey, touchdown.
You know, we just didn't play well enough. We didn't get him out on third downs. And, you know, I thought that was a big part of it. We didn't get the quarterback on the ground. I mean, you know, there was a multitude of things tonight. Turned the ball over three times. So.
Hats off to the Eagles, man. Hey, they came out ready to play today. They played much better than we did. I'm just sad we let our fans down.
Yeah, just a flat, embarrassing performance with all of the chips on the table and the stakes, and Judd and Matthew Collar out in Philadelphia, Mackey in the studio here. With all the chips on the table, including home Super Bowl, best defense in the NFL, like if Nick Foles is the quarterback instead of Carson Wentz, and all these things that are going your way, for that to be the result, you know, we can debate over where it falls in terms of disappointing Vikings losses. I think a lot of people, most people would still put 1998 above this, but it's up there. I have an email for you guys and get your reaction on this. If you thought the Vikings defense was atrocious yesterday and bad in the second half against the Saints, emailer Dave has put this into number form. So from the halfway point of the third quarter against the Saints to the halfway point of the third quarter against the Eagles, so one full game, The Vikings have allowed 62 points. Now that includes one defensive touchdown, so 55 points, 627 opposing yards, and Drew Brees plus Nick Foles over that one game equivalent, 40 of 52 for 514 yards and six touchdowns. They scored in 9 of their 12 drives. Is this the Big 12? Like, did they just morph into the Texas Tech defense? What the hell happened?
And we are now having to have a more difficult version of the conversation that we would have had starting Monday of last week if that Diggs touchdown doesn't happen, right? We're talking about second half, the defense fell apart. Keenum didn't play well for pretty much that entire game. Starting last week, there was a real chance that we were going to have a difficult discussion about the Vikings, and then you had the last 10 seconds, and it was all gone. The twist now, though, is you went from against the Saints' second half defensive struggles to now an entire game. So it's interesting that last 10 seconds glossed over a lot of problems, and now you're staring those problems straight in the face.
But I think we would have said, oh, it's just Drew Brees. And it was. Yeah. I mean, I thought the Vikings defense played okay, or if not good, in the second half, and Drew Brees made throws. Eric Kendricks is right on top of Alvin Kamara, and it's a perfect throw. I mean, 4th and 10, they get him to, and it's a perfect throw to the perfect spot. This was a lot different. This was a lot of mistakes. But I think where it was caused, I think Kevin Seifert totally nailed it. Where it was caused was the offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles is the number one offensive line in the NFL this year. They have the best right tackle in football. They have the best center in football. They've got a Pro Bowl caliber right guard. They've got a veteran left guard. And that left tackle who filled in for Jason Peters, I thought he did an amazing job on Everson Griffin. So you're talking about a line that was the equivalent of what we saw last year from the Dallas Cowboys that we talked about so much helping Dak Prescott. And the Vikings, one thing that we talked about going into the game was how the Vikings were going to cut down on the short passes by playing extremely aggressive with the safeties and with the corners because they were going to try to force Nick Foles to throw deep. Well, when you give the guy protection and he can sit back there and give Zach Ertz enough time to run an out and up, I mean, normally tight ends don't have enough time to do that against the Vikings defensive line because the pressure is there. And in this case, when the pressure wasn't there, this tight end can barrel 15 yards down the field and make a move that normally no tight ends have the opportunity to make.
Yeah, and the other, if you just look on paper, the Vikings had the better yardage defense. They had the better, if you just look at opposing passer rating defense, but the biggest glaring difference, the Eagles get takeaways. They generate turnovers. The Vikings do not. I mean, the Vikings are very, I think the Vikings are bottom third in takeaways in the league going into the postseason. And at some point, that was maybe going to come around to bite you, and they couldn't turn Nick Foles over. 651-646-8255. We've had full phone lines here for a little while, so let's run through some of these calls. We'll take Vikings fan reaction. Do you think they can just dust themselves off and push forward and get back there again next year? Or was this just an ultimate deflation that leads to disappointment next year? Let's go to Craig on line three. You're on with Mackie and Judd, Matthew Collar from Philly.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
So just like you know, all the Vikings fans out there, I've been a fan for a long time, but I want to offer a challenge. You guys talked about best. And, I, you know, in order to be the best, you have to beat the best. So this offseason for the Vikings, front office staff, whoever, challenge I'm going to offer you is get the best. Get the best coach, get the best defense, get the best offensive coordinators. What I want to talk about is Patriots. First game of the year against Kansas City, they get blown out at home. Their defense was soft, was awful. They got better during the course of the year. They've got one of the best offensive coordinators in McDaniels, one of the best defensive coordinators in Patricia, and they got one of the best coaches in Bill Belichick. They are the best. They have the Patriots' way. We've got to change the culture in Minnesota. We got to start aiming for the best, not just the mediocre, just not the above average. We got to get the best kickers, the best quarterbacks, best tight end, best defense. You got to find talent. It's out there. And you use coaching to get them to be the best. They interviewed James Harrison on NFL Network last night, and they said, he said, we practice, and he comes over from Pittsburgh, we practice these plays enough where it becomes second nature. When you've got greatest quarterback all time, Brady, he's down by 10. That team believes he can win because he is the best. So I'll just kind of hang up, shut up, I'll listen to you guys. They pull out trick plays to win games. The Vikings, we don't do that.
Well, so. Here, Craig, thanks for the phone call. All right, Judd and Collar in Philly. Here's the problem. And this is Mike Zimmer is one of, if not the best defensive minds in the NFL. And he put together the number one defense in all the major categories, and they got smoked. On the other side of the ball, there's only about 10, quote-unquote, top echelon quarterbacks in the world. Like, you can't just say, well, go get a Tom Brady. There's like, everyone's looking for a Tom Brady. It's not right. As easy. Now, I would make Drew Brees tell me no. He's a free agent. I would make Drew Brees tell me no before I went out and you know, did the Bridgewater, Bradford, Alex Smith, Case Keenum thing.
And does Craig want to blow things up? I guess I'm confused by the fact that now there seems to be this fire the coach, fire the GM, do this, do that. I mean, are there moves this team can make because of the flaws and the meltdown we saw last night to improve for 2018? Absolutely. But when you say go get the best, does that mean wholesale changes? Because, I mean, you've gotten to a point now where you've stabilized this franchise to a degree that we have often not seen here, Phil. So I guess I understand the frustration, okay? But if we distance ourselves from the frustration, I think what you have to say is you have to learn from what you saw last night. But if that means that you're now going to say we're going to be the Patriots, that's not going to happen. The Patriots are the Patriots. They're the one team. They are the only team that I think you can consistently look at in this league at the start of every season and say they are so well run that they're going to have a chance to win a title on a yearly basis. Everybody else falls into the category of you need fortune and good play and good coaching. But if you think that you're going to go find Belichick and Brady, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen.
Well, now hold on, because I would go through the Vikings roster and I would go through their coaching staff, and I would say that all of these things match up pretty well to the Patriots. Zimmer is not Bill Belichick, but he's a top 10 coach in the league, and he got better this year, especially with his handling of post games, his handling of the locker room. I think the Vikings have a great culture. And I'm there every single day since July 23rd to yesterday. I think that they have about the best culture that you can find inside of a locker room of professionalism, accountability, all those things, all the way at the top of the list. You look at the way that they handled this quarterback situation. It was impressive. They had the number one defense. They had a good kicker who bombs a 53-yarder to put you ahead late in the New Orleans Saints game. But when it comes down to the final game and the defense falters because you're playing another great team, do you have the quarterback that can go back and forth with that team? And you just didn't yesterday. And I know that this makes it hard because people don't want to blame Case Keenum, but even with the Minneapolis Miracle, he ends up with a 73 quarterback rating in the playoffs for these two games. And it's like, you know, you never had a chance if your team fell behind. With this quarterback, that was always the thing, that everything was set up really well for him to succeed, and he did during the regular season. But when he ran into teams that were better, he didn't perform as good, and ultimately you end up going home.
651-646-8255. Let's go to our friend, noted Wolves and Chiefs fan, the Dude, on line one. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I'm enjoying the beautiful sunshine. Judd and Matt, if you can't get out of Philly back to Minnesota, come on down to Treasure Island, Florida. We'll crack some Yinglings and do some shark fishing.
I love that idea.
It is a good
idea. At least the first part.
Only the first part. was Nick Foles' success a product of his natural ability or simply the Vikings defense imploding? And if it was natural ability, or at least let's just say 60% of the pie chart was natural ability, would he be something that you guys would pursue next season?
Boy.
2-year contract, right? I think he signed a 2-year contract in March of last year.
Well, I would say he, when given, thanks for the call, I would say when given a great vehicle to drive, that's been the theme of the season, Case Keenum, Nick Foles showed he can ball out 4 years ago. Hadn't shown that in Philadelphia the last few weeks, but he reverted back to the 27-touchdown, 2-pick Nick Foles we saw when he was with Chip Kelly and Pat Shurmur.
Hey, Phil.
But I wouldn't like bank on him for a bunch of money for the next few years as my franchise guy, no.
I will say this, because Foles started, what, the last 3 games, I believe, and then the playoff game against the Falcons, and then on Sunday. So I think he's 5 starts in. Let's not underestimate one very important thing, Doug Peterson's play calling. Doug Peterson is a damn good coach, and that game plan was absolutely fantastic. I think much like Shurmur deserves credit for taking Keenum and basically putting him in a position to succeed, Nick Foles, to his credit, had a great game, but Nick Foles was taken by his head coach, who is a great offensive mind, and put in a position to succeed. So I think with QBs like this, we often think, oh, now they've found it, and they're just going to be fine. What we saw yesterday was a combination of a quarterback who has ability and a coach who had a game plan that was fantastic.
I would also say that Nick Foles was really good inside the pocket, moving around, shuffling around. There was a time where he pulled the ball down. He was going to throw it, but a hand came up. He pulled it down and then made the throw right after that he didn't lose his cool in the big situation. And that's kind of how he was against the Falcons, where, I mean, maybe he didn't hit those deep balls, but it got to the fourth quarter and he was cool and he drove them down the field. And that's something that maybe you didn't expect. But what the way I look at Foles is that he's like a high variance type player. Like if you think about a baseball player who might hit 3 home runs in a game and then the next game he's going to go for 4 with 4 strikeouts, I think that that's Nick Foles. When he's great, he throws 27 touchdowns and 2 picks. And when he's bad, he looks like a guy that shouldn't even really be in the league. And what you did was you got everything to go right for you, especially with the blocking. And he's accurate. I mean, he's got an arm. So it's pretty clear that he could throw the ball. And when you gave him that type of protection and that many open receivers, then he was able to succeed. So I think it was really kind of the fact that he does have these type of moments, but also was really set up to succeed by his coach and his offensive line.
Caller and Judd in Philadelphia, Mackie in studio, Mark, Chuck, and Dean, we see you guys on hold. 651-646-8255. The autopsy continues next.
The Mackie and Judd Show rolls on.
Yes, sir!
On 1500 ESPN.
I hereby resign as a Viking fan. Number 1 ranked defense? That's funny.
They were completely outplayed physically and mentally tonight. Quarterback, let the Browns overpay for Keenum. They would make a great couple. 32 years of following this vomit diarrhea storm in purple is enough. Goodbye.
That was just one of the many calls from Vikings Vent Line last night.
3 hours of that last night? Is
Three
that what you're
hours.
Telling me?
We went 2.5 before we took a commercial break because the lines were just loaded thanks to Red Cow and Red Rabbit.
Beautiful.
We do have Tom, Mark, Chuck, and Dean on hold here. Collar and Judd are out in Philadelphia, the city of quote-unquote brotherly love, where they hurl full cans of beer at Vikings fans.
Man, I don't know why you guys are making such a big deal out of it.
And punch horses.
Yeah, they punch police horses.
We like to punch police horses. We don't like those police horses.
Let's give him Collar's address and see how he feels about Eagles fans being in town.
These are my people. These are my people.
Oh, yeah.
The East
you
Coasters.
Suck up.
These people who are crazy. No, I mean, I saw on Twitter the sign where they were saying Bleep Millie, who is the 99-year-old Vikings fan. And I thought, hey, I would be pro Millie because a 99-year-old Vikings fan is great, good for you, but I don't think it's unfair. I mean, this is sports, man.
Poor Millie.
Let her have
Millie,
it.
And she
poor Millie.
All she wanted was one Super Bowl appearance.
Getting trolled by all the Angelos and Vitos.
One more Super Bowl appearance for Millie. They couldn't even do that.
Let's go to Dean on line 4. What's up, Dean?
Hey, fellas. How are you? I live in Chicago. I'm a long-suffering Vikings fan, but I'm here to talk everybody off the edge. The Vikings defense is improving. They had a bad game. It happens. I recall in 84, the Bears had a great defense, and they went to San Francisco. They lost 26-0. Mm-hmm. Now is not the time to sour on the defense. The defense is there. On offense, we got to go out, and I think we should sign Kirk Cousins. There's a window there. Yes, he's 30. Quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, play well into their later 30s. You draft an offensive lineman, shore it up, give him the keys. I don't see any reason why that won't work. I don't, you know, we looked into the abyss. Fine, we took a shot yesterday. You know, the 85 Bears got lit up by Dan Marino, too. And I'm not saying that Foles is Dan Marino, but Dan Marino had a game. He lit him up. Foles had a game. They were at home. They had momentum. We were off an emotional high. These things happen, but the Vikings can certainly recover. They've elevated to be one of the elite teams. Now's not the time to panic at all. I'll hang up and wait for your see what you guys
do. All right, Dean, let me throw this to you guys. How do you feel about Kirk Cousins for like $25 million a year?
Wow. The thing about Kirk Cousins, if you sign him, is you probably have Kirk Cousins for a long time. But he's really had bad defenses in Washington. There are a lot of similarities with Case Keenum with his skill set, but he's like a better, like a rich man's Case Keenum. And the numbers that he's put up are very good. Yards per attempt, things like that. Quarterback ratings have been very good. And I wonder, if he was in this type of situation with a defense that was good, if he would put you in a spot to be just as good or better. But if you're talking about having to pay him $125 million, that's where I would really get antsy about that, because then you're saying, this is our guy, and this is our guy for a very long time. And by the way, I totally agree. On the defense, like, you don't want to touch that thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's
not time to panic.
Like, just
there.
Because of one bad game, you don't want to change anything there or the coach or anything else. But Cousins, when he had a situation like Case Keenum had this year, he was even better than Keenum was this year. That was in 2015, and he didn't have a defense, and they weren't that competitive. But I think he is a good quarterback. I'm just not sure if you want to sign up with him for that much for a long time, because then you might have to lose someone who's important because you can't pay them.
What do we think of Alex Smith? Because I think there's at least a phone call to be made there. Now, part of this conversation also largely depends on Teddy. And behind the scenes, has he progressed a lot? If Teddy has made significant progress, I think in the Vikings' heart of hearts, he's their guy. That being said, if he hasn't, do I see them making the necessary investment in Cousins that they would have to? Probably not. Do Do I see them making phone calls? Absolutely. Does Alex Smith intrigue you guys?
Hold on. Let me. Okay. Kirk Cousins does more for me. This is where it gets complicated, though, because we're not talking about apples-to-apples contracts. Like Matthew said, we might be talking about $25 million and a lot of guaranteed money over 3, 4, 5 years for Kirk Cousins. You could get 1 or 2 years of Alex Smith probably for something less than a first-round pick at this point, just because his stock has fallen. So you're comparing, there's an Alex Smith, Case Keenum bin, and maybe there's another guy or two in that. But let's put Alex Smith and Case Keenum in a similar bin where you're going to pay like $20 million, but you're not going to have to lock in for a very long-term amount of time. But at the same time, those guys need big-time infrastructure. Kirk Cousins might have a more dynamic arm, might put up bigger numbers, and when given a defense and given some of the other things that these other quarterbacks have had, might take another step forward. But you have to commit to a long-term marriage. I would lean that direction over an Alex Smith, Case Keenum, where it's your defense that's going to have to take you the entire way.
Well, see, I think that Alex Smith is more talented than both of them by kind of a wide margin. A former number one overall pick who this year, when he actually started working the ball down the field for the first time in maybe his entire career, he had a ton of success and was one of the best deep passers in the entire league. He had the highest adjusted yards per attempt. He had the highest quarterback rating in the NFL this year, threw for over 4,000 yards. It was just the irony of Alex Smith this year is that he played at his best when they had a ton of weapons all over the field. It was a great offense. Then they didn't have a good defense. For a very long time, they had a good defense, and yep, they tried to play conservative with him. But when he was in a situation to not play conservative and actually work the ball down the field, he had the best season of his career. And if I'm the Vikings, I want to see what Alex Smith would do with these two wide receivers more so than I would the other two. And if it's Alex Smith for a year, I mean, that would be the thing, is you wouldn't be locked into Alex Smith. Whereas the other two guys, I think the best scenario you'd have with Keenum is 3 years unless you franchise him. So maybe you're talking about 3 years, $60 million or something like that. And with Kirk Cousins, I think you have to go $120 million to have Kirk Cousins. So if you, the economics of it and then the talent of the guy, I think both of those things lean toward Alex Smith.
Yeah. Let's take we got stuff you should know about coming up here. We've got later on, superstar Mike Morris will join us. Collar and Judd are in Philadelphia. Let's go back to the phone lines here where Mark has been holding the longest. You're on the show, Mark.
Hey, guys. I know a couple callers ago, last segment was alluding to, you know, trying to be the best at everything. It's like we were the best defense. Last night, I was sitting there watching that game, and after some of those plays, I just was befuddled, and it was like, whose defense is this? Who took our defense and just transformed them into a shell of themselves? Like, what? Yep. Like, what happened? I'm with Judd on that one. We're sitting here and just befuddled by it. I think in terms of this off season, though, like going into next year, I am hopeful about this defense, you know, not doing what they did in Philadelphia and repeating, you know, what they did this whole season. But at the same time, I know Collar alluded a lot of this early in the playoffs and late in the season. Like, the Vikings scathed through the season. Like, we had some injuries, but compared to other teams, we barely had any injury problems. And you can't really count on that for next year. And that's why we wanted to cash this in now and get to the Super Bowl this year when it's in our home stadium. So I think that's why that disappointment level has been turned up a notch a little bit the day after here, is that we could have had that home Super Bowl, and who, you know, having that injury-free defense like we did for most of the year, it doesn't happen too often. Now, in terms of the quarterback, I'm with the Kirk Cousins train on this one. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think this year he had a lot of offensive line problems similar to what the Vikings had last year.
Correct.
And I think he can really lift up our team. But I think you make that call to Drew Brees, he'll probably say no. But let's be smart with our money in terms of quarterbacks. But I think Kirk Cousins is worth it. If not, franchise Case Keenum.
Mark, thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, Mark.
Collar, do you agree that, like, you have to Drew Brees has to tell you no first, even if there's a 0.5% chance? Drew, hey, we know you're a free agent, you love New Orleans, and you got a great team, but we got to ask, right? You have to ask him.
after seeing Tom Brady at, what is he, 41, and then seeing Drew Brees, how he played in the second half of that game, yeah, you put Drew Brees on this team, and he's having a similar season to what he had in New Orleans, and with this defense, you would have been talking about being a Super Bowl team. That's the difference between Drew Brees and a lot of these other quarterbacks, and Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith probably do fall into this category, but I think of a higher level. Like when yesterday, when everything went wrong with the defense, which I liked what the caller said about Dan Marino shredding the 85 Bears, because it does happen. It happened last year against Indianapolis. It does happen that great defenses have bad moments, that you have to have the quarterback who can match that, even if the other team is playing well. And Drew Brees is the only guy on the list who yesterday you would have still felt like, well, they're killing us, but we could kill them back because our quarterback is that good.
Here's my pitch to Drew. I call Drew up and I say this. Who, when it comes to offensive coordinators, who do you like? It's a package deal. If you'll come here, we'll sign you. It'll be a huge contract, and we will hire the guy that you like. We will package it up since Shermer's gone, and we will bring in a coordinator that you like to work with and that you think is smart, and basically your co-coordinators. That's my pitch to Drew Brees, Phil.
And it would be ironic if he said, Ben McAdoo. Ben McAdoo's my guy.
I want the
I'm glad you guys are already talking to him. All right.
Great mustache.
Yes. Collar and Judd are hanging out in Philadelphia here as we recap one of the most disastrous, embarrassing losses in Vikings history. There's no reason to pull punches, and there's no way to sugarcoat it. It was an epic disaster in Philadelphia yesterday. So we'll keep the phone lines open throughout the show. 651-646-8255. Dave's got some stuff when we come back here. What do you got for us?
I've got nuggets we haven't touched on regarding Vikings-Eagles. There was another football game yesterday. We've got some stuff on that. And to make everybody just smile a little bit, we got a little Bill Walton for you.
Boom. Mackie and Judd.
Let's blast off.
Mackie and Judd now continue on 1500 ESPN.
And stuff you should know about is sponsored by Zillow. Zillow, with millions of photos of homes for sale and for rent, historical pricing data, and tools to help homebuyers find what they're looking for. Zillow, find your way home.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please rise. Men, remove your caps as we honor America and the Twin Cities sports scene with the playing of Stuff You Should Know About.
All right, Judd and Matthew Collar are in Philadelphia as we recap yesterday's 38-7 Vikings loss. Dave Harrigan's got some stuff on other games and other Vikings nuggets. Fire away, sir.
Yeah, let's start with the one we've been concerned about all day, however. A couple more off-the-fieldy types things. First of all, I bet we've all seen this.
Get some cold cuts. Get some cold cuts. Get some cold cuts.
But can you identify it when you just hear it?
Judd?
Patriots locker room?
No. I already told you it was the game that we've been talking about all morning, so nice try. One more time.
Sorry, I wasn't listening closely. Shocking, I know.
It's Eagles related.
Is it their owner dancing? Is it like owner white guy dancing?
No. That would be the sound of all the excited Eagles or Philadelphia fans, whatever, on the subway watching their compadre in the Eagles jersey run headfirst into that pole.
Is that guy okay?
I don't know.
Does it look like he might have fallen under the tracks or something?
I don't think that happened. I would imagine that news would have come out.
Yeah, that was an amazing fail. So was he trying to catch up to the subway to get on or something? That was weird.
It was going awfully fast to think one could get on. But, you know, alcohol does things to a person.
It does.
I did not see that. That's too bad.
Meanwhile, post-game, a lot of people dancing in the streets, getting into fights, climbing Crisco-covered poles. And then there was Sir Charles wrapping up an interview with the NBC affiliate in Philadelphia.
Thank you for your time. I know I stopped you. Thank you. Thank you, Sir Charles.
I'm tired of you now. I want to go finish this run.
No, go finish it. Thank you, my man. Thank you.
So he had already done an interview and the guy wanted more questions or something? Or
no, he was thanking him for the time, saying, I appreciate your time. Good, I'm tired of you. I just want to go get drunk.
That's good. Yeah.
So it was Charles and Bradley Cooper in a suite. Did I see that right on Fox?
Were they in a suite together? I saw them both separately.
Oh, okay. I thought they were together, but I'm not quite sure.
That would be kind of a fun little 1-2 punch to get drunk with. Bradley Cooper and Bradley Cooper as an Eagles fan, the one he played in Silver Linings Playbook, too, would make it even better.
I actually watched that movie the night before the game. Maybe it's all my fault.
I wore a Hall & Oates t-shirt under my sweatshirt yesterday.
Whoa!
I'll take some blame,
too. What
were
you guys thinking?
I pretended to be an Eagle, just in all social situations.
With the talons and everything? Are you guys familiar with Bakari Sellers? Politician, he's a contributor on CNN once in a while, too.
Never heard of Bakari Sellers.
Yeah, me neither.
Is he football?
He was football yesterday when he tweeted, "This is the biggest game Tony Romo has ever been in."
Oh wow.
Gosh. Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
Wow. Such a vicious
is player. That the deepest that. Tony Romo has ever been in the playoffs? I think it is, right? His Cowboys team never went to a conference championship.
I don't think
so. That makes me think. We haven't brought that idea up. Let's talk Tony into coming back.
Okay, if Tony will if Tony will play for like $10 million 1 year, and your other options are Case Keenum for $20 million or trade a valuable draft pick for Alex Smith, you got to think about it, Kyler, right?
Do I get to like keep Teddy Bridgewater as the backup just in case that Tony Romo?
Why not?
Then yes. If I get to bring him into camp and see what he's got, then yes. Even the last time he played, he was still good. And, I mean, maybe a year off, you know, let the neck heal a little bit.
What about this?
It would never break your heart, right?
Well, what about this? Okay, if let's say Case Keenum signs somewhere else, and Drew Brees is going back to the Saints, and it's basically, well, Bridgewater and Bradford are kind of the two guys left over. Would you rather spend the same amount of money on a one-year deal for Bradford or Romo?
Romo.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all. He would break your heart, but I'm not surprised.
Oh, that would be a change. That would be totally different.
Your heart, so it would be incredibly fitting.
But that would be totally
different.
Well, they're all going to break their collarbones, knees, and our hearts anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It'd be more fun for two. All right.
There was that other football game, too. Great moments from beginning to end. Actually, before the game and after the game is really what I mean. First of all, Tom Brady running onto the field. Found the cameraman to get the F out of the way, and Bill Belichick after the game.
Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right? But, man, I'm not talking about open heart surgery here.
I love
Belichick. Got to cast shade. It's going to be great, though. They're going to band together because they're all just cyborgs to win one more championship before Bill Belichick decides to hang it up or something. But they will probably beat the Eagles and make us all look like fools for doubting them.
I saw a bunch of tweets that Tom also went on the Westwood One postgame show and dropped numerous F-bombs as well. It's the new Brady.
Really?
He's cutting loose now. He don't care now. He's
like in an interview, he dropped F-bombs?
With Werder. Yes, he was dropping F-bombs on Westwood One live, and I don't think they could bleep him.
It is amazing to me how the Patriots not just beat everybody, but also psych everyone out and make them do really stupid things. The Jacksonville Jaguars had 5 minutes and 40 seconds left when they got the ball back. They stop Brady. They get the ball back. They're at like their own 10-yard line. They end up punting it back to the Patriots with 5 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or something like that, I mean, where they threw 2 incompletions, took almost no time off the clock, and gave it right back to Brady and gave them an opportunity to go win. And you go through the way other teams have just handed it to the Patriots. It's like the Patriots paid them off. I mean, the Falcons not running the ball, the Seattle Seahawks not running the ball, and you just add this to the list of unbelievable meltdowns. And congratulations, Doug Marrone, for proving what kind of head coach you really are in that game by mismanaging the end and losing to Tom Brady.
Wow, look at you! So, the bitterness runs so deep from Buffalo. Still, I love it.
One of my least favorite people to ever be around.
The other thing the Patriots do regularly is do the obvious thing in the obvious situation sometimes. You and I both tweeted at the exact same time, a Tom Brady quarterback sneak in a key situation for 1 yard. Ben Roethlisberger in his career is 18 for 19 on quarterback sneaks, and they haven't run one in 3 years. And Pittsburgh lost that game because of a couple bang-bang. Could have converted, didn't, you know, had to give the ball back. Just, you need a yard, run a sneak with a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's not that hard.
Let's make everybody smile a little bit. Bill Walton, Dave Pasch on the call Saturday, UCLA visiting Oregon. And when you're in Oregon and you're Bill Walton, you got to take a little tour of the forests, of the natural lands, and with a couple researchers, investigate the mushroom population in Oregon, because that's what you do. Then you try some, and then you come on the broadcast and talk about it.
I have found that mushrooms only help you. And remember, there's all. That was Biddy Roy and Rue. We went into the laboratory. We mixed everything up. We looked under the microscope. We saw it all. There are basically 3 million species of mushrooms around the world. And here in the state of Oregon, we have the humongous fungus. Because remember, fungus is singular, fungi is plural.
Thank you for that, Bill. But if that's not enough for you, we also have Bill Walton enlightening Dave Pasch and all of us on the great advancements in foam rolling technology. You know, foam rollers, the things that runners athletes use to, you know, break up the tissues in their muscles. Here we go.
I saw the players working out with it before the game. Well, let people know what the players are doing with it pregame.
Have you ever used a foam roller?
Yes.
You have? Yes. That's the first yes I've ever gotten out of you. How many years now? Anyway, this is a foam roller with a vibrator inside. So it's fantastic.
Well, I'm sure that didn't make Dave Pasch wildly uncomfortable.
I'm telling you, Dave Pasch has to be paid more to work with Bill. His contract has to call for an increase in salary for every Walton game.
Dude, it's the I think Dave Pasch is either the greatest straight man in sports commentary or is about to jump off the IDS tower like at any time.
I'm going ladder.
Yeah,
I think he's started to embrace it now, but early on, he didn't, and now they've played it up. So now they have Bill Walton go to every city and do something ridiculous, and they've made it into a real shtick. And this is what I want sports broadcasting to be: is much more fun. That we are, especially in games that really don't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Oregon and Oregon State in January. Boy, people are going to really tune in. But when you know that the broadcast is fun, it's kind of like that TNT pregame show.
100%.
Let's talk about mushrooms.
The 76ers can be playing the Bucks, and you'd be like, well, that's not normally a game that I would watch, but the TNT pre- and post-game show is so good that I'm going to hang with this because that's just good entertainment, and I think that sports not taking itself so seriously is fine.
Yes. 100%. Matthew
Unless
Collar,
it's football.
Then it's got to be super serious all the time.
Break it down.
In all caps.
Football.
These guys are in Philadelphia. We are burying the Vikings 2017 season. We're taking your phone calls. We'll mix in some more discussion topics. But basically from now until when Superstar gets in here, and even until 1 o'clock, 651-646-8255 and 877-615-1500. Vikings Vent Line on Demand, Purple Podcast, and all kinds of written content from Collar and Zolgad at 1500ESPN.com. Before we go anywhere, you can get a lot of money potentially for a used vehicle at Luther Brookdale Toyota. And it doesn't even have to be a Toyota. Any make, any model. Your vehicle is in high demand, and we're talking vehicles in all price ranges and vehicles maybe from 15 years ago all the way to, you know, 3 years ago. They're looking for your used vehicle. In as little as 15 minutes, you can get a professional appraisal with a no obligation offer on your vehicle. So even if you're just trying to figure out what's my vehicle worth, I'm kind of curious to see what I could get for my used vehicle. It's the easiest way to get a value on your vehicle and then to complete a trade, and if you want to go the step further. So if you accept the offer, Luther Brookdale Toyota will handle all the paperwork, and you can leave with a check in your hands. You can use that money to trade up into a new lease, into a new finance situation. So again, it's pretty easy. Go to LutherBrookdaleToyota.com and click. There's a little link on the top. It says We Buy. Just click on it or stop in on the corner of 694 and Brooklyn Boulevard.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
They seem to have really unusual names.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
1500 ESPN and Sprint have teamed up for the big game, the one the Vikings won't be in. Garage Logic, Sports Talk, and The Ride with Royce will all be live from Sprint in Crystal next Monday, the 29th, to kick off Super Bowl week. Can't make it Monday. All three shows will be live again on Wednesday from the Sprint store in West St. Paul. We'll also have your chance to meet Mike Morris. He'll be at the Edina Sprint store on Tuesday. and the Maplewood store next Thursday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. More details at 1500ESPN.com. Keyword sprint.
Thank you, Dave. Collar and Judd out in Philadelphia still. All kinds of more stuff to get to unpack after that game yesterday. Just a disaster. Let's get to some more phone calls here. Tom's been on hold for a while. Hey, Tom, you're on the show.
Good morning, guys. I don't want to talk about offense or defense or special teams, although ironically, Kai Forbath was the least of our concerns. I don't want to talk about quarterbacks. I don't want to talk about offensive coordinators. I want to talk about the inability to perform on the big stage. I don't think it's so much of a talent issue. I think there's an organizational, psychological issue. This transcends decades. Several teams. I don't know what it is, but I think to solve this thing, the only name that, frankly, I've heard come up that would really make a difference on the subject that I'm talking about is a guy like Drew Brees, who would command enough respect, I think, to impact an entire team. But Zimmer hasn't been able to do it. I thought he would be able to do it. But this team, not this team from yesterday, but this team, the Minnesota Vikings, have historically been unable to perform on a big stage. Somehow, some way, that needs to be addressed. That's
Tom,
all I got.
Tom, it's a great point. It is weird, Collar and Judd, in that throughout different generations and different decades, you can have completely different 53-man rosters and head coaches and even different blueprints for how you got to the big game and still come up with the same result every time.
Except for the fact that in the 70s, when you lost the four Super Bowls, you had Fran Tarkington, one of the best quarterbacks that there possibly was, right? So it wasn't a quarterback thing, or it wouldn't have been expected to be then. I think to paint the entire franchise with that broad brush is frustration, but I probably don't think it delves into what the issue is, because there have been different reasons and different losses and different things, and this all goes back to the fact that this is why Vikings fans feel as if there's a curse or a hex or a jinx.
Well, I actually have a theory on this, but it's going to take more than the 2 minutes we have left in this segment. Let's take one more call here before the top of the hour. Randy, you got about a minute left here.
All right, real quick, Pat Shurmur. I was starting to think he had coached himself out of a head coaching job. Maybe that's not true, but for my liking, too many sideline passes, too many checkdowns. You know, nothing across the middle. I told the wife about a new cool stat last night: yards after catch or yards after contact. You know, just too many catches and down, too many first contacts with the running backs down. I just think we need to open up a little bit more. Hopefully the next offense coordinator will do that for us.
Collar, do you think it's possible the Giants would say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, there must have been a miscommunication. You're not going to be our coach today, actually.
The way I look at that is the reason that they had to rely so much on yards after catch on the short passes was because of who your quarterback was. That Pat Shurmur did an amazing job during the regular season of setting up Case Keenum to succeed and maximized everything that was there in Case Keenum's skill set. When Case Keenum threw the ball downfield this year, he had very little success. We remember a handful of big plays, but overall, he did not have a lot of success, and I thought Shurmur did a great job. It's just, this seems to happen every time that a team gets into the playoffs when they have had to scheme their quarterback to be halfway decent, that when they go up against someone else, they often, or a great defense or another team that has more talent or whatever it might be, they eventually end up coming up short. And that's a lot of what happened yesterday. I wouldn't blame so much game plan on yesterday. I would blame the Eagles' defensive line is incredible. Keenum did not handle the pressure very well. They didn't run the ball very well at all. And all those things combined to what you needed Case Keenum to do was make big plays down the field, and that's not really what he can do.